Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Everyone, it's Belinda Ellsworth, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm so excited about our guest today, Christine McAllister. Christine is a freedom strategist and expert on turning tragedy into triumph. Her company, Life with Passion, helps high-achieving, motivated entrepreneurs use their unique gifts and challenges to quit and stay out of their 9-to-5 jobs by creating and growing online businesses out of their passions. It's my great pleasure to welcome Christine McAllister today.
Thank you so much, Belinda. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, thank you. So, Christine, why don't you just take a few moments and fill us in a little bit about yourself, about your business, and a little bit about that journey and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. So I always knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I was like so many of us, where I was constantly starting things to make money from a very young age. I ran pet sitting businesses, dog walking businesses, because I'm a huge animal lover, and I sold lemonade and cookies at the front of the neighborhood. I was always, I guess, even hustling as a kid, and really, really had this desire to start my own business right out of college, but I didn't have the plan. I didn't see the path, even though it was a desire. And so I did what a lot of us do, and I did the quote unquote practical thing, the thing that we're sort of trained to do, which was to get a job. And so my jobs included being a professor, an undergraduate and a graduate professor, and also being a career counselor. And though I really liked the work, which was basically, you know, shared a lot of skills with what I'm doing now working for myself, I really didn't like the structure. And so when I finally found a way out of the 9-to-5 world, I managed to replace my income in the first month because I had been building my business on the side and doing that in a really strategic way. So I've started 4 businesses over the journey during my time as an entrepreneur. And I have just done a lot of different things. I'm a multi-passionate person, like I'm sure so many listening to this podcast are. And I really take a stand for being able to do a lot of different things, but just perhaps doing them one at a time with some focus so that you can say yes to more things down the road. So my stints have included working at the Olympics 3 times. I breed Arabian horses. I spent several years full-time as an online marketing expert. I'm a speaker, and I help others to build freedom-based businesses like I do, like I have now. So that's a little bit more in-depth about my background.
Well, that is awesome. Thank you. And you know what I find interesting here, and it's what if we were to ever break it down and go back to our past. So I love that you shared that. When I interview so many people, and it doesn't always come up, except all of a sudden it'll come up in just a little thing that they might say. But it's like kids, the people that are really high achievers today with being entrepreneurs usually were hustlers as kids. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I know. And like one of the little threads that I have found that a lot of us share, and it's funny, I find this with more of the guys for sure, but I remember I had to fight at 12 years old to get to be a paper girl, right? Because only there were paper boys. And a lot of us at that age were, like when I talk to people, they're like, well, I had a paper route. And it's like, so did I. I had a paper route. But like when I sit and think about it, I had to fight to get a paper route as a girl, because they only asked boys to do that. So it is really interesting, but that I was a hustler too from a very young age, doing all the things that you talked about, except not with the pets in other areas. But I do think that if we were to get honest, that is a common thread that a lot of us share. But I also think it's an opportunity for parents to nurture that hustling of their kids. because there are lots of kids that have that spirit, and there's parents that sort of squash that spirit, if you will, because it seems like they're not paying attention to their school activities as much, or that it's, you know, not worthy of their time. And I would encourage parents to, if they see a child that wants to do something, you know, interesting or entrepreneurial, you know, let them have that experience. Let them do the things. I used to crochet and make pillow covers and quilts when I was in the sixth grade for people and sell them. And my parents didn't say, why are you doing that? Stop doing that, you know, or you're spending too much time on that. You need to be more involved in your schoolwork. They never did that. And I think a lot of that led to where I am and where my journey is today. So can you expand on that just a tiny bit?
Yes, I so agree with that. I really, you know, being a parent myself, I can really identify with what you shared and appreciate the opportunity, right, that we have to nurture it, because I think that our preferences and our tendencies are very clear from a young age. And I think that there's a lot of power even in, you know, rediscovering who we are, what we were like when we were little, and realizing that this was always our path, right? Because when as entrepreneurs, if we are, you know, dealing with self-doubt, or we're dealing with, I feel weird because this isn't what the people around me are doing. You know, a lot of times this can be lonely with our in-person lives, right? Our quote, in real life lives. And I think that having conversations with parents and maybe helping them to, you know, them to realize, and also you to remember, like, oh my gosh, I was doing those things as kids. Like, maybe as a kid, maybe I didn't remember that or think about it a lot, but I, now I can go, yes, this was always my path. This is always what I was meant to do. I think there's a lot of strength and courage to be found in that. This, you know, this is how I was born, and this is my calling. And now I feel a lot more empowered to go after those dreams.
Right. So tell me then a little bit about how this business has shaped your lifestyle today.
Sure. So my current full-time business, Life with Passion, I started this business out of a deep tragedy in my life. And so what happened in early 2015 was that I was at the end of a perfect pregnancy with my first baby. And I had put the car seat in the car and finished the last baby shower. Everything was ready, good to go, you know, just according to plan. And I went in for a routine doctor appointment, and I found out that my baby no longer had a heartbeat. And it was, as you can imagine, you know, this huge shock, right? Because everything was healthy and wonderful the whole time. And I just, you know, I just thought, this doesn't happen. Like, this isn't a thing. But it was, it became my reality. And so I had to then, you know, go to the hospital and deliver this baby that I knew had already passed away. It's just, you know, unthinkable.
Right.
And so out of that tragedy in my life, like, I realized that, you know, this was going to define me one way or another, right? Because it was such a shocker, such a turning point. Everyone knew, right? Because everyone knew that I'd been pregnant. And so I realized that I had this choice of what I was going to do with this. And so in the process of grieving and really questioning everything in my life, I decided that I was going to create a legacy for myself and for her that I could be proud of, and that, you know, I believe that she would be proud of. And I decided to get really, really clear on what my strengths, my biggest strengths were within the businesses that I'd started. My biggest strengths combined with, you know, the things that I was most passionate about, right? So my zone of genius, as a lot of us talk about. And I created a business around those specific skills and passions. And so, you know, in doing that, I also included, as you mentioned, this this lifestyle that I knew that I wanted to keep and enhance and improve. So one that would allow me to travel, one that would allow me to work from anywhere, one that would, you know, allow me to work wearing what I wanted, when I wanted, right? And really, right. really support both my ability to be visible, to become the person that I aspired to be, one who, you know, was totally over a fear of visibility and a fear of judgment that I had previously been held back by, one that really supported this rediscovery of who I was, one that created a legacy for my daughter, and one that really empowered other people to do the same. So, you know, the lifestyle incorporates a lot of different things, but I think for me, it's one that really blends who I am with how I want to, you know, live and show up in the world.
Great. And I see here in your notes. So, and you do have a 5-month-old now?
I do. Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's so wonderful. And it's a little girl.
It is. Yeah. So, you know, my first baby was a girl named Maeve. And now I have Maeve's little sister, Fiora.
Oh, that is wonderful. And so congratulations on that. And, you know, and my hat's off to you for taking a really very horrible situation and making that into something meaningful, like you said, and creating a legacy for her. It's admirable for sure. And congratulations on that. And I'm sure you're very empathetic to others that go through similar tragedies in that there is life on the other side of that. I'm sure that that's a huge piece of what you're able to help people with.
Yes, yes. And just, you know, really, truly realizing that no matter what you've been through, you know, you can go on to survive and you can go on to thrive, you know. And I think now I have people see me as legitimately able to say that, right?
Yes.
Because of what I've been through.
Right. That's awesome. So we talked about these skill sets, and I think that this is so important. I think it's important for people to understand their strengths and then sort of build on those strengths. So what would you say then a couple of your greatest skill sets are that have really helped you be successful in owning your own business?
Yeah. So I have one skill set that is more the softer skill, right? The emotional intelligence. And then I have one skill set that's more the traditional, quote unquote, hard skill set. So I'll share each of those.
Okay.
The first one is that I'm a very intuitive and relatable person. That's what people share with me. Like, I've always just been able to sort of read people's moods and just understand what they're feeling, right? Sometimes when we're intuitive, we also take that on because we are so sensitive to how other people feel. And I also have always been very, very relatable. So again, these are two things that showed up for me very early in life. My dad shares that I would just walk up to, you know, an adult, like when I was 4, and just ask them, you know, a question and start a conversation. I just was really into getting to know people and their stories and just getting personal with them. And these relate also to me being an introvert. So a lot of times introverts have a strength of being really powerful in connecting one-on-one. And so that those things being sort of this intuitive, personal, relatable person has allowed me to really quickly engender trust. And clients, customers can feel that because they know that I'm there, I'm present, I get what they're going through, I'm empathetic, like you mentioned, and I'm able to really help them to connect with what's going on for them, whether it's an action they need to take because they're procrastinating or whether it's some fear that is time for them to face and to work through. I think that being intuitive, being relatable, and being reflective and, you know, a good listener, all of those types of things, those have helped me build every single business. And of course, in this business, helping others build their businesses, it's a really, really important piece because so often, in fact, most of the time, what we were as high achievers, we're really good at executing, but learning, you know, sort of the whys behind things, maybe why we're not as successful as we would like to be yet, or what's been holding us back, why have we been procrastinating on that thing we know we need to do, but we just can't bring ourselves to do, those things are really superpowers when we start talking about these types of tasks and empowering others to build their businesses. And then the second skill set for me is that I'm very scheduled and structured. I love a good calendar. And I was using a day timer in middle school. You know, I was that kid. Everybody made fun of me for it because it wasn't real common at the time. And I just love having things on my calendar. I love scheduling time to work on specific things. I love checking things off of a to-do list. I love having, you know, certain days when I work on things and certain days when I work on other things. And, you know, when you are about getting a lot done and really executing and taking action, especially, you know, as I have a baby and I don't have a nanny at this point. So I am all about being super productive and working on the right things. And my natural tendency and preference toward being scheduled and structured is a huge asset and one that allows me to get a lot more done than a lot of people who don't have a baby.
Absolutely. We have a lot in common, I have to tell you that.
I love that.
I know, because I would have to say that these are probably two of my greatest strengths also. And you made one comment that I think is very, very interesting. And I these are both my two greatest skill sets too. And I think people look at us, because I was always able to go walk up and talk to a stranger about anything. However, at the same time, I can be, like, people look at me as a speaker like, oh, you're a real extrovert. But at the same time, I wouldn't call myself that. I can be introverted. I do like to just have these one-on-one times to really talk with people versus be in the life of the party, if you will. Do you know what I mean? And
yes.
I think that people confuse those and then they don't understand themselves in it. I think they get confused that I do this, but I don't do this. And I think that that's an important piece for people to understand about themselves and understand that it's okay and how to use that and how to use that. And you know what? It's something then that I've personally worked on to be more social in large settings and not just have that, you know, best friend, if you will, or have that one person you connect with. And so we can take our skill sets, our strengths that we have, and we can expand on those. And I think that that people need to understand that and don't focus on the weakness so much, but focus on the strength and just say, how then can I expand on this to make myself stronger in the areas that I am a little bit weak?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love the focusing on the strengths, right? Because we do here in the US, we do live in a very extrovert friendly culture, and that's what gets rewarded. I call myself an internet extrovert because I have this, you know, big community who follow me and I get on Facebook Live and, you know, I love to do interviews and I'm very, like you, I'm a speaker, you know, I'm very, very visible. But I also love curling up in front of the fire, you know, in my PJs and just being warm and cozy at home on a Friday night. And I think it is, there are tons and tons and tons of actors who are actually quite introverted. And so I think that understanding that, that it can look a lot of different ways. You know, you and I are expressive introverts. It doesn't mean that we're hermits. It just means that we get our energy from, you know, thinking in our heads and coming up with ideas and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Instead of maybe, you know, like you said, being the life of the party. But I think that as we begin to own who we really are, we also discover the confidence to walk up to people or start a conversation with the checkout person or, you know, have these little conversations that that we didn't feel confident enough to do before.
Right. And I would say to everyone listening, I have been teaching it for, 25 plus years, honestly. Actually, it goes to really almost 37 years that I've been involved in sales. And people always ask me, how do you do that? How do you get this done? How do you do that with this? It's like, it's schedule. It's schedule. It's schedule. And as much as I say it, people don't take it seriously.
Yep.
of just scheduling your time and prioritizing what is important to you for that day. And so I'm hoping that the people listening will say, wow, because to me, that is, if people would just own that schedule and structure a little bit more in their lives, they would be blown away at what they could get done.
Yeah, I think like for a long time, maybe I told myself it couldn't be that simple, right? Like I had this story of like, oh yeah, yeah, I know, like in my head that that's important. But once I actually started doing it more fully, then I was like, there's a reason everyone talks about this, you know?
Right. Absolutely. So share with us one of your most outstanding accomplishments or something that you are really proud of or that has meaning for you.
Sure. One of the things that, you know, that I used to get asked a lot is, how did you do it? How did you quit your 9-to-5? I wish I could do that too. And I realized when I was starting Life with Passion that that's really who I take a stand for, are those people who really have that desire and are high achieving and, you know, are willing to do the work, but they just don't see the path, because that was me for a lot of years when I was stuck in a job that I really didn't like. And so I'm really proud that I took that into Life with Passion, and that 70% of my clients so far have quit their 9-to-5s. And, you know, that's in, you know, working with me for just a few months. And so a lot of them, you know, had other priorities, or it's taking them a little longer. So maybe, you know, they worked with me a year ago and they haven't yet quit, but they will. And so I'm really, really proud of that, because it's enabling other people to get the freedom that, you know, that they so desire, and like really changing lives and changing families and changing, you know, changing their whole story.
Sure.
And so it's like this huge privilege and an honor for me that I actually get to help facilitate that.
That is awesome. And it is a really great feeling when you know that you've had a meaningful impact on another individual's life, that it will go on forever. And that, gosh, that's it's awesome. It's an awesome feeling. So then, how about an obstacle or challenge that you faced, and then how you worked through that?
Sure. So in my story, I've faced a lot of challenges and obstacles, but I would say the biggest one was, you know, losing Maeve, losing my daughter, because I didn't really have a frame of reference, right? For like, this is what you do when this happens,
right?
Where a lot of times we have someone we can pick up the phone and call. We have, you know, something, we've heard of this before. And so when Maeve died, it was, you know, it was absolutely hands down the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I'm really proud of the fact that I've used it to create a life that I love. You know, I think that before she died, I was an entrepreneur. I was full-time running a business I enjoyed, but I was also hiding out. I was marketing other people's businesses, and I was really good at that, but I wasn't using, you know, I wasn't really in touch with my true calling. Like I hadn't done the work to take a good look at that, because of like the fear of like what other people would think, or like maybe the fear of what I would think. I wasn't ready, all these things. And I used my grief to, Napoleon Hill talks about it in Think and Grow Rich. There's this little section in the book where he talks about the people like Abraham Lincoln and Charles Dickens, who used, you know, tragic things that happened to them to discover their other selves. And I really identified that with that when I read that. I thought, yep, that's what I'm doing. Like, that's what this process has done for me. And I think that it was getting the courage to take a hard look, to get the support, to admit, hey, you know, maybe it's like worth hiring somebody who has what I want, instead of going, no, I'm smart, no, I'm independent, like I should be able to figure this out for free, right?
Right.
And that is what changed everything for me, was stepping up and taking a look. You know, like you said, I faced it head on and went, okay, this is a choice, and I'm going to take some steps to get to the end goal here. And I'm happy to go into more specifics, but that's the That's the answer there.
And that is, that's amazing. Like, I think it's so incredible. And I'm certainly sure that that was your greatest obstacle or challenge. And so many of the people I know listening to this will say, oh, wow. But what are some of those maybe smaller challenges that someone listening might think, well, I've never dealt with something that big, or I can see how that would profoundly change you, but I haven't had that. So what are some of those little challenges? I think sometimes it's those little challenges that people get. I call them the little roadblocks of life. What you had was a major detour, if you will. But we all have tiny roadblocks and detours and setbacks along the way. And I find that it's in those that people get hung up and just don't continue on the journey. They let that stop them and they get sidetracked or they get. And is there any couple of little ones that you can think like, you know, well, I got to this point and I had no clients. And so I had to dig in my heels and I had to do this. Like, I would love for you to just share a couple of other ones, because I know, sadly enough, there are people out there that will go, oh, yeah, she had that happen. I could see how that would completely transform you or push you or do whatever. But I haven't dealt with that. So can you share any of those little ones along the way? Because I honestly think that those get people hung up more than they let go of their dreams because of the tiniest little bump in the road. That's what I see, is I've got this big dream. I've got this passion. I've got this vision. And then I hit a tiny little bump in the road, not a major one, a tiny one. And they go, you know what? It's okay if I don't make it. I've still got this to fall back on. You know, I didn't know if I really wanted that or not. They let go of their dream with the tiniest bump in the road. So is there any of those little challenges you might want to share?
Yes, of course. So for me, I think that one of the things that has been a big theme, both internally and externally as a high achiever, is like the fear of criticism, either from myself or from people around me, which is probably also really tied into a fear of failure, right? So right. Self-doubt, all of that stuff. And like that, you know, being tied in with wanting to do things right and perfectionism and all of that, I would say that is a roadblock that like can seem so small, but that can show up like every day for us, right? And really, really derail us. And I think it's something that I can really identify with. I would say that a lot of times when we've got this dream and we're somewhere in the process of dreaming about it or realizing it, like someone's offhanded comment or feeling like we lost a client, or, you know, this perception of like, well, that didn't work. Maybe, you know, I didn't sell as many spots in this one particular offer as I wanted to. Then I would say there have been times I've allowed myself to like go to what I call the bad place over that. Like, oh, this didn't work. There must be something fundamentally wrong with me and like my dream and like I'm doing it all wrong and I ought to switch directions, right? And really, really like catastrophizing something that, like you said, is a pretty small roadblock. And so I would say also that like a lot of times when we're talking about our dream and we're really excited about it, sometimes we talk about it maybe to the wrong people. Like a lot of times our family or friends, they don't get it. Yeah. But then we expect them to, because we care about their opinion. And so we're like completely devastated when they're like, well, why would you do that? It's much safer to stay in a 9-to-5, you know, that seems crazy. I don't know anyone who does that. And Darren Hardy has this great quote from The Compound Effect that says, only take advice from someone you trade places with. And I think that's really, really powerful, both for like what you're talking about to yourself and also what you're listening to other people around. Because if you ask, you know, a spouse or a best friend who are in 9-to-5s, hey, what do you think about this? Like, I really want to build this business. And you don't get the exact encouraging answer you're looking for. You really care about what they think. And then you're completely devastated. Or if you ask yourself and there's something that, you know, you're trying to figure out the answer on, but you've never done this before, maybe it's just that you don't know how yet. And so I would say in both of those cases, the way that I've overcome those things and the way that I've seen a lot of my clients do as well is to make sure you're in a really good community, right? Like, and this can be online, right? Because remember, I'm an introvert. Like, I don't go to networking events. I am an internet extrovert. So I am so big on finding and building relationships, both with people who are at your same level, like in the journey, and also who are beyond you as mentors, so that you have people to go to and go, they said this, am I crazy, right? Or I'm telling myself this story, am I right? And show up in that way so that you can process through it and like make a decision that that works for you and that helps you to get confidence and move beyond the perfectionism, move beyond the procrastination, move beyond, you know, that fear of criticism or failure.
I think that's really great advice. And I always tell people to find three people that really have your back. And I think that saying somebody that you would want to trade places with, I love that quote. And I think that when we really look at it from that perspective, it's because some people actually, they're envious to some degree. Like, well, how do you get to go out and do that when I'm still stuck right here? So then they tell you, I don't know that you should trust that. But what we have a tendency to do, this is why I really encourage people to find three people that you can, and one of those should be for sure a mentor, but that have your back, that you can talk to, that might say, here's a solution to this thing you're going through, not tell you why you shouldn't do it, but that quit going back to the people, whether it be your mom, whether it be your spouse, whether it be your sister. Why do you keep going back to the same people for approval when they really don't get it? And that's where we set ourselves up for these horrible feelings is you're right. We keep wanting that person to get it, but they're not ever going to get it. And so quit going back to the same people.
Yes.
I had to understand that for myself. And I just, you know, quit going back to the same person, hoping for a different result. I just went to that person to have conversations about the weather, about gardening, about quit trying to say, look, I want approval here about my business, that I'm smart, that I'm savvy, that I'm doing the right thing. Because that was so out of the realm of understanding for that individual that they weren't ever going to get it. And the biggest thing for me was to finally get it, that they weren't going to get it, and to understand that it doesn't matter if they don't get it.
Yes. So. Yes, to be willing to let that go. You can still have a relationship and you can still appreciate, you know, them for all their wonderful qualities. But, you know, I mean, to use kind of a cheesy phrase, right? Like, you're giving your power away to them every time you go to them and say, hey, validate me here, because right. They're not going to.
Exactly.
Because they're just not able. And that's okay.
That's right. That's absolutely right. So what does working from your happy place mean to you? It's this one question I always ask everyone, and sometimes it stumps people. So I would love to hear what you have to say about this.
Yeah, and I love this question, and I love the name of your podcast. Like, it's just, it's very, like, I can close my eyes and see it when I think work from your happy place. So to me, it means, number one, you know, working from a physical happy place. So one of the things that my, you know, business has enabled me to do is to move into my dream home, one where I have a basement, you know, walkout basement office with this beautiful view, and it's very inspiring to me. And you know, to be able to pick up from this house and travel the world. That's really important to me, to get out, to be inspired, to see other things, to eat other things, you know, all of that stuff, to travel as I choose, to work from anywhere. That is my happy place, to be comfortable, you know, as well with like, with what I wear and what my schedule is and how I take breaks and all of that, that all of those things make me very, very happy. And then, you know, professionally, working from my happy place, really doing work that energizes me. So I was having a conversation with my mom about, you know, figuring out this whole, like, parenting, this baby thing, and what does that look like? And she said, you know, I think it's really great that you're doing work that actually energizes you for maybe the more challenging parts of parenting, as opposed to like going to a 9-to-5 that you resent and then coming home and resenting that, you know, all you have time to do in the evening is wash bottles or, you know, clean or whatever. And like kind of just this cycle of resentment, right? But instead I'm doing work that really, really energizes me, that I believe allows me, helps me to become a better parent, and then allows me to be present with my child and go back, you know, and so they feed each other, and, you know, really doing this work that I would do for free. Like I love it so much. I do give away a lot of my time because I love it so much, and, you know, work that is literally, as we discussed, like changing others' lives. That to me is working from my happy place. I always wanted to do that, and now I get to.
That's awesome. And I think it's, everyone wants to say, and I asked this question because it is different for everybody, and I love the different answers, but I think I love that you answered this because a lot of people don't want to. They want it to be something bigger. But, you know, for me, it is that I've been able to have my dream home too and work in it and have the office that I want to have. So, and this is my second building my dream home. So always keep that in mind too.
And yes.
Go along your journey because I built my first one and it had my office and it was for me. And then as my business grew, I waited for this piece of property that I'm on now for 25 years. I just kept my eye on it for 25 years. And wow. So when I built this dream home, which I've been in now 8 years, it was with an office for my staff that was separated from my home to some degree with a separate entrance so that that my home was my own. And so it changed over those years of what that dream home looked like and what my situation is. But there's nothing wrong with saying that something physical or something material, that's what people have said, it shouldn't be materialistic. But you know what? If that's what you've worked really hard for and it is, and it makes you happy to be in that space, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's like,
yeah, totally. Gosh. Totally. Because it's the way that you, right? It supports the way that you feel and the way that you work and how productive you're able to be. And the fact that you can walk out your door and like go be in your office with your staff, right? And the reward of like having admired this piece of property for 25 years and then finally being able to own it. That's amazing.
Right. And so I just want to encourage everybody that there is nothing wrong with material things. I think people think it has to be so profound that if they say they want something materialistic, then somehow there's not value in it or it's not important enough. And I just want to encourage people that's not true at all.
Absolutely. It can be one or the other, or it can be both.
That's right. So what advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs?
I would say that the biggest thing that makes a difference is to just start. So a lot of times I talk to people who stop themselves before they start. And, oh, I could never do that because, right? Or, oh, I couldn't, no, that wouldn't work for me because, well, that's nice for you, but, right? And what usually is going on in their brains is they don't have all the answers, and so they stop themselves. So instead of saying, well, how could I learn this? They say, well, I can't because I don't know exactly how the next 5 years are going to look, so I'm not going to start. And I would encourage you to start with 5 minutes a day. Like, this does not have to be, you know, your 5 to 9 every night and your 9 to 5 Saturday and Sunday. Like, you can start with 5 minutes a day because that is going to answer that part of your brain that's going, we don't know enough. We don't know enough. What about this? And what about that? Right? Start with 5 minutes a day and you're going to start building trust in yourself. You're going to start building belief that this is possible for you. And that is so key to continuing to show up and take, you know, strategic action to build your business. And I also really believe, because I built businesses both ways, so I've done this the hard way and the easy way, that the fastest way to get where you want to be is to find somebody else who has what you want and learn from them. You know, even for us independent, introverted, high achievers, that is the one thing that I would go back and change about my entrepreneurial journey. And it would have made the biggest difference for me if I'd done this, you know, 12 years ago instead of just a few years ago.
That's awesome. So now I would love you to share with our listeners. This has been an outstanding interview. And I just want to thank you so much, Christine, for your wisdom today and just your vulnerability and sharing with us. I absolutely love that. And I'd love you to share with our listeners how they can, A, find you, how can they connect with you, and then maybe what are some exciting things that you're working on that you think they could benefit from.
Sure. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, Life with Passion. I also have a a private Facebook group called Life with Passion Society that I'm in every day that is a ton of fun, and it's super, super encouraging and supportive. So if you're like, where do I go for that community? You could start there. A lot of people find their accountability partners, mastermind partners, or just people to encourage them in that group. So I would encourage you to check that out and join us. And then one of the things that I'm working on coming up is a training to help you know and own your niche. So no matter what business you're in or that you're building or that you want to start, knowing who you're talking to is really important. And this is where I see a lot of people get stuck. And I really like to use the power of your own story. As you can tell, I'm really into stories to help you sort of realize that, because what I find most often is that, you know, it's right in front of our nose and we way overcomplicate it. And so I've created a cheat sheet on this, and you're welcome to grab that for free at lifewithpassion.com/happyplace.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And I wish you much continued success on your journey with your business.
Thank you, Belinda. You too. So appreciate you having me.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.